What's up? This is the Capoeira Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, also known as Instructora Esperta. So, I think I came through on my promise and gave you guys another episode this month, which is amazing. So I'm really happy about that. I'm very proud of myself. I hope your 2017 is going very well. I think in these first couple of weeks, it's not too bad. Trying to be positive so far, in spite of everything. And I don't really like to get into politics, so I won't. But this is part two of my interview with Instructora Cafe, and I don't know, it's just really cool. It's just, we had a lot of stuff to say, and it was really great to listen to what he had to say. I agree with a lot of stuff that he says, and also you're going to hear some interviews of people and their thoughts about what makes a good bachizado. But first, before we go into all that, let's go into some events. This is going to be a short one, which I'm very excited about, so here we go. February 3rd and 4th in Salt Lake City, Utah, Volta Miuda Capoeira will be having their bachizado, winter bachizado. So if you're in Utah, take a look at that. In London, United Kingdom, First Tributo aos Mestres Festival, February 4th. That sounds like a really great event. I think there's going to be a lot of big wigs there. Check that out. And February 16th to 19th, Long Beach Capoeira, Esporte de Corpo, also known as Body Sport, Capoeira will be having their 7th annual Bachizado. I will be there, so if you see me, come say hi, and hopefully maybe you can hear yourself on the show. So now, this is our next part with Drew. So I don't know. Enjoy.
My arm is so sore because you're so tall, so I'm just going to have you hold the mic. Okay. What do you think makes for a good bachizado? Like, what do you think makes, like in general, for a great event?
What in general makes a great event?
Yeah.
I think students that are dedicated to what's going on and that feel welcomed and happy, and that it's about the students. That's what bachizado is, a celebration of the students. So when they feel celebrated, I just feel blessed to be able to have a healthy body that I can play capoeira at all, let alone like the side.
So you've been to how many events, do you think, like in your whole time?
In my whole time? Oh gosh. Let's see, so no less than 300 events.
Wow, 300. What do you think makes a good event in general?
I think really I enjoy a diversity of guests from, you know, different capoeira groups, different capoeira families, different ways of understanding capoeira.
What's your most memorable thing to ever happen in an event?
Most memorable? I got into a huge brawl with... I don't know if it was a professor or a quanto master from another group. And I was a green court. I was an old green court, but I was a green court. So I ended up getting into fisticuffs and took a few people to separate us. But I learned a lot from that interaction.
What did you learn?
Keep your hands up.
Okay, I have another. He's not afraid.
Okay. I'm a professor Borbolius from Capoeira Agua de Beber in Davis and Sacramento.
Okay, so
how many
events do you think you've been to, like, in your whole lifetime of capoeira?
Oh, a lot. At least 100.
At least 100?
Sure.
What do you think goes into making a really good, memorable event?
Good hold-ups, good workshops, time to hang out and meet people.
What was your, do you think you can, like, talk about, like, your very first event that you went to?
Oh yeah, so my first event ever was me getting my green cord out at UCA Berkeley. So it was a gigantic event, and I had been training in Ukiah with Mr. Amunka, and I had never seen that kind of big capoeira before, so it was pretty overwhelming. And then to be participating in getting my cord out was pretty awesome, and I saw people also get graduated at that event, so it really inspired me to know that capoeira is always something that you're learning in. It's like I was getting my first belt and learning, and people who are graduating are getting their next, you know, taking their next step.
I think it's good to just show the process of how, like, we do and how much and how honest I want these, because I'll even do, I mean, of course, you're going to hear some B-roll guys on what is a good bachizato, what's a bad bachizato, but some people are super conscious or, like, they just don't get it, like, what this is, or don't want to get mic'd or something. I'm just asking you a damn question. Just be honest. Yeah. Like, this isn't CNN. I'm sure your message, let alone cannot download this app, let alone even probably understand half the shit that we say, because it's in English. Not that I'm, like, undermining people, but I'm just saying, like...
Yeah. Nah, you know, my master, he's spent half his life here, so he's pretty good with the English.
I think he listens to this.
He's also really good with people expressing their individuality, so...
I think we're lucky.
We're lucky as hell.
We're definitely lucky in our school.
Yeah.
I've told people, or, like, I've suddenly realized the oppositeness of my family life to my capoeira life, because I've lived a very spoiled capoeira life. I have, like, you know, supportive teachers. I played birimbau, and even when I couldn't, when I was one of those people that was, like, just went up to it and be like, yeah, can I play that? And
yeah.
They've let me, well, I mean, during class, like, they've let me, and through that, that's how I've gotten better and wanted to be more present and, like, commit my life to this. I don't think that people... I don't know if, like, why they don't want to leave their schools if it's so bad, like, the environment. Even in the bachizato, where sometimes they may not, like, get the recognition, or if they feel like they help out, yet there's no, like, reciprocation of, like, a thank you involved. It's weird, like... Capoeira can bring, like, this really great relationship, or it could be, like, super toxic, where all you need to do, like, save you this, like, mental trouble is to, like, leave. But maybe, like, they just can't leave because there's nothing else. They could be in, like, I don't know, Wyoming or something. I don't know if Wyoming has capoeira schools, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there are parts of the, like, I mean, you were definitely a part of this where there was no school. It was, like, you were the school, or, like, you and your friend and YouTube was the school. It's like, I feel like, yeah, there's that other side where a lot of the students are doing a lot, yeah, and the teacher isn't doing his homework and isn't doing shit, and it's very apparent.
Yeah, it's obvious, and it, you can see it right away,
because you can see, like, that uncomfortableness or just the tension with the students and the teachers, how they're trying to, like, bury it.
That, and there's, like, this, and it might be a tactic now that I think about it, but this just the sheer waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, time just goes by. And it works in their advantage if they're in a space where they've only been allotted a certain amount of time to hold the event.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through your whole itinerary too fast, then you've got to think about what to do next. And some people have the wherewithal to improvise and to do something that's very capoeira, which, I mean, the simple solution is just let people play.
Yeah.
But... others don't, so they take the advantage to just kind of waste time, wander around, talk about stuff that no one really wants to talk about.
Like, what can I, you know, I mean, well, don't say the event, because, I mean, why would you, but, like, huh. Just be like, what happened?
What, okay, so, I think the biggest thing that I've been seeing, and I don't want to disrespect people, because I understand that, like, there's a language barrier, and... Some people may be able to express themselves in one way in English, and then in Portuguese or whatever other language, they're able to, like, really show who they are and express things. But a lot of people just want to talk about, like...
Well, for one, it's talking in general.
Yeah, it's talking in general, and they want to talk about what capoeira is and in the context of their experience. It's almost like a lecture. Like, there's this guy. He showed... Like, I remember I went to his event. This is the first time I've ever seen capoeira Angola.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with, like, my white clothes. A lot of us did.
Mm-hmm.
And this was still within the 6-month period of me being in a group in Ohio. And so I was like, oh man, this is, like, great. I get to see capoeira Angola. We're taught, like, this is traditional capoeira. Now I have a different understanding or sense of,
right, because you were so young when you, right, yeah, it changed.
But we get there, and the person that was my leader walks up, and I don't know exactly, but he says, he walked up and said, you know, who's the master here? I would like to introduce myself. I was about 30 yards away from that whole interaction, but I was close enough to hear this person. I'm going to talk about what rank they are because they know who they are. But they were like screaming at the professor, at my professor. And he was like saying a bunch of stuff in Portuguese I don't understand. I didn't understand. And it was bad. And then finally at the end of this whole argument, it lasted about 5 minutes. We were invited to come over, but we couldn't sit.
Really?
Yeah. So
oh,
then,
that's interesting.
So then this teacher, person, individual, decides that after they've let their Angola hold a run, which is like, I don't know, for like 10 minutes, which isn't even a game in Copa mm-hmm. Angola sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like a fraction of a game. But he decided to stop it. He gets up. He talks about what he thinks Capoeira is and what it should be and what is acceptable for him and what's not acceptable. And then he picks us students out and says, hey, you can sit down at this one. But he still excludes our teacher. So we all look at him, at our teacher, like, is this cool with you? Because
yeah.
if not, we can just leave.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll go sit down. So we sat down, and he handpicks people to come and play. He was only picking women, which I don't clearly understand why he was doing that, but he didn't pick any of his males, and he would have the women only play with males from his group. If that makes any sense. So the women from our group could only play with males from his group. And if at any point, there was a couple of students who just knew, like, their body understood how to play Capoeira really well, even though we didn't really train Angola. So if they were to even show a hasteira, he would stop the whole and the lecture would start again. But this is like...
How long did this go on?
This lasted... It was a 2.5 hour event. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
It's like the longest 2 hours of my life
yeah.
if I went there.
It was a complete... It was one of those things where, like, you leave and your body's still fresh, so you just go over to, like, a park or something.
Yeah.
Like, we walked across the street and
you
there's
just
a
start playing
of,
your
like,
own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that happens. That's the worst. That was the worst case scenario in my history of things.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot.
There are a couple of bajizadas I remember where we went, we paid for a wax shirt. Let's be clear. A wax shirt. It just had the word bajizado and the year on it. Like, no graphic. Not even your stock Au Bachito pick. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Even though I think that's super tired now to put, like, Au Bachito pick. It's like, we get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is your only move you can do in Capoeira.
Yeah, it's probably not their, like,
person. It's probably the stock of, like...
Yeah.
We don't need to say who.
It's probably not their image.
It's like the silhouette of, like... We know who, but anyways.
For sure. There was, like, a quick sidebar, like, on that subject. I was talking to Avila, instructor Kurumi and things.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing a shirt from Massey Bamba's group. And their logo literally has a picture of Massey Bamba in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, that's like, yeah, they just put a picture as their logo. And I'm like, yeah, they might be the only group who can get away with that. Like, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I thought that was funny because it just kind of came up. Generic logo thing, like the idea is kind of generic, but at the same time it's cool because it's
yeah.
like history.
I mean, there have been a couple events, like rare events, where the shirt was like super whack, but the energy was super super dope. So you're just like, the shirt is just clothing. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
like, I'm gonna clean a counter with this shirt one day.
Well, not even that. Like, I didn't care what was on my back. Like at the time, I was just like really proud of everybody and really happy for
yeah.
everyone and. Like, yeah, I'm going to remember this event. Like, this is a great event. Like, I love your school, you know. And I've been to events where there was just, like, great shirts, but I'm just like, well, at least I got this t-shirt.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, but I mean, no, it's so weird. Like, you know, it's like that whole thing where you have a bad encounter and you'll tell, like, 80 people about it. It's like you have a bad event and you'll still tell, like, 80 people about it. But I hate that. When you buy a shirt, you know, you sign the waiver and you don't play at all. And some of these, like, we've driven to, and, like, we'll just be sitting there on the way back, like, I don't know, I didn't even get to play. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, I was about to play, and then they stopped it.
Yeah, that almost shouldn't be allowed. Like, I don't know, there's no one to regulate this stuff. That.
Or, like, if there's just one auto, like, goddamn, like, there's a big-ass space here. Like, let another set of people play. Like, let four people play at the same time. Like...
I just wonder what goes through somebody's mind that gets them to the point where they don't want to allow people to play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you obviously love Capoeira, or she wouldn't be here.
Or, like, you're in this city where it's completely far away, where people... It's like, yes, this is a big state, but at the same time, like, no one's going to fly, or, like, you know, we sacrifice 100 miles even, or, like, 30 miles or whatever in traffic to come.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, yes, we want to support you, but at the same time, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you got to let us play.
You got to value people's time, man. Like, whatever, you can have them write a check for your event for $60, $70 or whatever. And if you deliver on that, that's great. But what people can't get back is their time. So, like, that has to be in the forefront when you think about somebody's experience.
And I wonder, like, do you think, like, if you lost my business, like, do you care? Like, you know? No, I'm just thinking, like, if that other person's thinking that, like, don't you want us to come back? Don't you want us, you know, like, now that I'm an instructor, it's really fun that I get to take, like, younger kids that have never been to events. Because, and sometimes they won't go to events on their own because it's just weird. Like, I don't know. I'm, like, by myself. Well, here, I'm giving you the opportunity. Like, get into my Prius. You know, like,
here we go.
Yeah, let's go. Like, I will drive, you know, like, you can control the radio station or whatever. I don't give a fuck. But, like, let's go, and I could show you, like, this awesome school. And then sometimes it's great where they're just like, yeah, that was a great school. Like, I can go on my own without you, or, like, I can give them that confidence that they can go by themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I was flying blind a couple, like, in my younger days, because I would just be by myself, because, you know, my old previous school, like, the people really wouldn't, I think up to this day, like, they just won't go out because of whatever they have, like, whether it's obligations. So I've just always just gone by myself and just made my own friends, and it's got me more outgoing to do that. But yeah, I think it's kind of sad when, you know, it's just like, yeah, I'm never going to go to that event. And then the other students are like, yeah, we're with you. Like, we're just not going to support that school anymore and just not go. And I wonder if, does the teacher maybe think, like, oh, it's just going to be small events because that's all I can get?
You know, I think the people who do end up caring that they lost somebody's business, they end up caring when it's too late. When the general consensus around the community now is that we're not going to this event.
Yeah.
Or her event. I just don't know if too many herbs that have put people in this position. So, yeah, we're not going to his event. You know what I mean? And then they have to do all the work to, like, dig themselves out of the ditch or climb out of the ditch, rather.
Yeah, because these things are really expensive. Even if it's a small event, you're still paying, like, for a venue. You still have to pay t-shirt production. I don't know. I've only talked to a few teachers, including my own, where that's the biggest hit, is the t-shirts. Because you want to know how much you got to buy.
Yeah.
And I think then
normally you have to do it in mad, like, big quantities.
Yeah. Like, I saw this one school where I saw a huge stack of extra large. And I'm like, why did you get so much extra large? We had one, I think. We only, like, printed one or two.
Because I couldn't get one.
Did you want one?
I wanted a black extra large, and they were gone. I understand that struggle, too. I put myself through it, but I had a rude awakening on what it takes to throw an event. And it wasn't a bachizado, but I got sick of not having people to train with in Ohio. And I befriended, at the time, Instructor Tuzium from New York, and his partner, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
They were running in New York City. She unfortunately couldn't come. I don't think we were as close as we are now at the time. But Tuzium and I were pretty close. He had his thing that he was doing kind of in Cincinnati, so I would infiltrate his school a lot.
Yeah.
So that was only a 2.5-hour drive for me. So I took the opportunity to use that relationship and the relationship that I had then developed with Matthew Lucas out on the West Coast, and some of and instructor who's now, you know, Professor Shulapa. He was living in New York still, I believe. Yeah, I was close with him. So I was like, you know what? I'm about to throw something in Columbus. Like, it's about to go down. I have unlimited access to the dance rooms at this brand new, like, rec facility at Ohio State, because I was a facility manager over there. And I was like, I can use this to my advantage. I'm going to make shirts and like, it's going to be like a bachizado, but
what year was this? When was this?
This was in 2000. When was this? So
2009?
It was 2010 because it was right before I graduated from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the winter. So we threw this event called the Winter Recharge. I had some people who were willing to like help me out with some other logistics.
I like that, the Winter Recharge. That sounds cool.
Yeah, because it gets cold back home.
For
like,
sure.
You don't want to go outside at all.
Yeah.
So
you want to do anything.
People's training would fall off.
Right.
And so we threw this event, and I forgot why I was even telling you this story, but I'm going to tell you. Oh, yeah. So we threw this event, and like, I was trying to hit up people ahead of time. Like, are you for sure coming? Like, if so, can you just prepay online and put in your shirt size? Like, I created this form to try to get a general, like, a real idea of who was coming. Because I didn't expect a lot of people, but I just wanted people to have that experience that, like, had pulled me in so tight.
I
want to recreate that. I still, to this day, have t-shirts wrapped up in a bag in the garage back home in Ohio, like, just sitting there.
How many?
Like, a good 20. And it's all... They're all smalls. Most of them are smalls.
Bring them down here. I'd totally buy one. It's vintage, dude.
You gotta see this logo. Like, I got my cousin.
I want one. If you're going, I know you're going back, so yeah, man. Just
for sure.
Sell them. Who cares?
I
would buy it.
Oh, my God. You gotta see it. Because it's kind of like what you see Muito and Keith doing now, where Muito has this, like, brainchild of an idea.
Yeah.
And then Keith interprets.
Yeah.
My cousin has been an artist for a long time, and he was down to draw, you know, the image, and he knows how to, you know, put that into the proper, he knew how to put that as a proper file to have it screen printed.
Right.
He drew, like, these two dudes who look nothing alike, but they're wearing these, like, ones wearing ripped up, he took my idea and expanded on it, but he wanted to have, like, the traditional mean the new.
Ooh,
and all that stuff. So he tried to make this, like, guy from the past, from Capoeira past.
Like playing someone from the present?
Yeah, he was calling a shamat on somebody from the present.
Wow.
And then it was all within this, like, esoteric mist.
Yeah.
You're going to love this shirt.
Like, I know. No, I'm like, I'm there.
It's funny.
I want it already.
Because I know, and I'm laughing.
This event has already happened, and I want the shirt. You know that's a great event.
Dude, like,
you want an old shirt from that event.
I know for a fact if I were to bring that up to him, he would laugh the same way any artist would when they hear something they made like 10, you know,
right,
a super long time ago.
Like, I made a Stussy S. Oh my
God. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. And I'm happy I did that because it does give me some sense of compassion. I still don't know what a lot of people go through to throw events, but it gave me a little sense of compassion on the front of, like, having to throw an event. Like, it's a lot of hard work.
You know, now that I'm older, I feel like I want to visit schools when they're just in their natural habitat, like no bachizado.
Yeah.
Because the intensity is just, like, so high, and then a lot of them, like, I feel bad. There was, you know, at my own bachizado that just happened a couple months ago, there was, like, higher-ups from out of town, and I barely got to talk to them because I was just busy, like, with fucking t-shirt folding or just making sure that everything was going off a hitch where I was needed. So I couldn't even, I mean, honestly, the only time I even played was, like, getting my belt, which is crazy. I mean, which is why, like, I was, which explains why some people found me outside doing, like, jump ropes, like, before my belt, before it was my turn, because I was like, I have no fucking warm-up.
Yeah.
I barely got to stretch. I'm just, like, making sure everyone signed the waiver and got their shirt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I honestly, like, I'm finding myself wanting to visit schools, like, when it's not bachizado time.
Off season, right?
Yeah, because I can see how they really am, you know, really are, and I can actually, like, get quality time and talk to people. But, I mean, I love bachizados. They're a great opportunity to travel and to experience their school, and hopefully I can experience that energy that I like. I mean, even at my own school, there were times where the energy was, like, off the chain, and then where the energy was kind of like, I don't know, maybe it was because, like, last event was so big, but,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, and then now with my own school, like, I feel like
Yeah, and with my own school, like, I hate to be partial, but, like, I can't even tell you, I can tell you what was special about it every year. Like, you can't even compare.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have even agreed, like, yeah, our events, I feel like, are always great. Like, we always say, like, man, that was better than last year. But now we just, like, feel like we can't even compare it because they're just, like, different things that different things were going through. And but the energy was still always there.
Yeah, you know, because the core elements of success are there. Like, I'm saying this shit as if I know what it is.
As if it's like, yeah, like, it's
here's
a,
my list.
A PowerPoint presentation, yeah, on an overhead projector.
If I, like, had to guess right now.
That's what I want to say. Like, what makes it good? What makes it bad? So first is, like, I think music.
For sure.
There have been bachizados where the music is not...
Busted.
Is bust, yeah, yeah. Like, no one's clapping, like you said, like... You can't even get your own students to clap. What the fuck? How are you having this own school? You can't even get your students, like, get on the beat.
Yeah.
I hate the two clap. Can we just get this out of the way? Can we have a conversation about that?
You know...
Two clap is like, I hate that two clap.
There were times where I felt the vibe, the two clap.
Like, I can't two clap.
I don't know if they still do it today.
They do it today because...
No, I'm saying is in general, this school, like, the first time I witnessed the two clap... I was at Kapu de Manjinga in Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing the two clap, and there were just some amazing games going on.
With the two clap.
I'm doing the two clap, yeah. But there's been plenty of times after where the two clap happens, and I'm just like, man, this is so
this
weird.
Needs a third clap.
Yeah, just one more time. Like, who says no? Who says no to this? So I can talk to them about it.
And it's awful because I will get so worked up that it's a fucking two clap.
It's because your brain wants to clap and you gotta stop.
I want to clap so
that's
much.
More about what that, yeah, that's more what that is.
It's like when the doctor tapped your knee and you didn't want to, like, I don't want to. Yeah. Like, it's a nerve thing. I gotta do a third clap.
For sure.
What is that two clap? I really want to be like, what is that? Did that come from Bimba? Like, did something happen where there needed two claps?
That would be interesting.
Or
to
was
find
that
out.
Just a variation where someone's like, you know, that works. I want to be different.
Well, I've noticed some places only do it when they're playing Samba de Pequena. So, like...
Okay, that's interesting.
Copa de Brazil, I think, is one of them. I can't recall now what rhythm they were playing back at Manjinga when they were doing the two clap, but it might have been... Samba de Pequena. I remember it was in the context of it felt like Angola.
That's interesting.
If
someone could tell us,
yeah, that would
we'd
be,
love to hear back from you guys.
That'd be great. Hit up Komi Komi and ask her, like, when does that happen?
I
remember
them
doing
it.
I
get it.
Variations,
though. Oh, you liked it.
It was cool. There's just been other occasions where I'm like, man, this is forced.
The two clap.
Yeah.
I think it's forced when people start jumping up and down and doing. You know, doing the mosh.
Oh, you're talking about, like, everybody's in front of the bateria.
Yeah, like, I'm just, you know, I'm not a jumper. Not, I, you know, for the record, I do have arch problems in the past, but I'm not a jumper.
Some people use the mosh well, though. So it's like, okay.
No, there have been times. Like, you know, this is like, I think the jumper, the jumping motion, it's, guys, it's quality over quantity, I think.
Mm.
It's gotta, like, be awesome if you're gonna jump up and down.
For sure, for sure. I think you know having people do the mosh at the predictable time, like the end of the event, and it's like, okay, let's close the procession.
No, some people will do it, like, during, like, where they're just in the circle.
That stuff I like, though.
You like that?
So, like, if, for example, there's been events that I've been to, and the leader, this is why I say it goes back to the leader, the leader was hyper aware of the fact that the energy was kind of dying just because people have been playing so long.
Yeah.
He brought the harder back to one, and then he let people play, and that brought the energy up a little bit. He saw it starting to rise, and then he took that moment, that like, incline to further build on it.
So yeah.
He's, like, the game was over, he stopped the game, he had people come in, do the mosh, and you're thinking it's about to be over, and then he opens that shit back up.
Damn!
And, like, the energy is just super high, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's
like when the beat dropped.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that. But you know what? That doesn't happen a lot.
It doesn't happen a lot. It should happen more.
I feel like everything also comes down, yeah, you said the teacher, it also comes down to just, like, awareness, like, reading the room.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, like, the first rule in capoeira.
Yeah.
Read the room, because yeah, you want to know if we can play as instructors, like we can court people or not, or if we can just play, or if it's just the messes, or if, like, okay, no one fucking knows the quota to this song that you wanted to drop here at an event. Yeah. Switch it to fucking OCMC, you know? Yeah, sometimes, like, the music just isn't there also.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they decided to give them high chords and then the higher-ups can't play.
Oh, man, that breaks my heart.
That does.
Breaks my heart.
I think it breaks my heart when I get on the beating bow and I know it's not strung up right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to pop my forearm because it's not tight enough and yeah. I can't get a sound off
sounds
of it.
Sounds like the beating bow just has a lisp. Because there's so much
it sounds like they needed to hang that up for decoration because it's dead.
Yeah, got a couple of those beating bows.
I have one, my first one. It's like a U now. Oh my God. I want to hang it up, but I don't. I still just want to keep it in the back. I just won't use it.
I got this one in Pride the Fortune in Brazil. And I remember I bought it because it looked cool. I'm in Brazil, and I'm like, I just want a really cool bit about
from Brazil.
Oh,
everybody
it's
does.
It's got like this tiger print burned in and all this stuff. But it sounds like raw ass. Like, it's horrible.
I got a painted one in my room, and the guy that made it was awesome. You know, he made some good ones, and then he made some bad ones. The bad ones are, like, they're just wall decoration.
Yeah, they do separate purposes. Everything has a purpose.
Yeah, okay, so music, that's one. Another is, we definitely had enough, like, talk about the leader, like, what the leader plays.
So I'd put leader at number one, if I were to revise the list, right? So leadership, music, games. Games meaning game time. Like, there needs to be a lot of game time.
Okay. Let's, like, put up a number. Because maybe there is... I hope there are higher-ups like that run schools listening to this. Like, and maybe taking into account, like, in numbers-wise, like, you think an hour, half an hour?
To play?
Yeah.
Like, just for the day?
Like, at the end. Like, let's say, like, okay, that was the last chord.
That should be, it depends on how many people you have. I think a minimum an hour and a half is cool.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of people, go longer. But honestly, I appreciate when, and you can tell when it's legitimate, but whether or not a hoda stops early or goes really long, that's all based on just the awareness of what's going on in the room, you know? I just like for that part of capoeira to be done whenever it's done.
Yeah.
So typically I think a lot of things could go a lot longer, but I understand people have time constraints and they can't afford to be in certain places longer, but I'm saying cut out all the other stuff and reserve more time for playing.
Either that or just like, I think even a heads up. Like, okay guys, so the time is blah blah blah. Like, okay, I'm thinking, or like maybe they should have that conscious thing to even like warn people, like there's not going to be a hoda at the end. Because I've gone to events where there was no hoda, where, you know, you have this understanding that there usually is, and I've paid money.
Yeah.
And I'm haven't broken a sweat, and I'm completely cold, and I want to play, and...
Or you spent your time.
And I spent my time to get there. I think that teachers have... I think they should have an accountability. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're just overwhelmed because there's so many, like, they have to house their mess in, or, like, they are the mess in, they're just trying to keep everything together, but... I feel like if you're going to be like that, you have to have some delegation with higher-ups.
For sure. I think you see that working.
Yeah, because...
Like, you experience that and how,
my
how
teacher
efficient
doesn't,
it makes everything.
Yeah, my teacher doesn't even touch. I just like, okay, man, tell me the prices, okay? Okay, give this, do this, got it. And I just take it and run. But I don't know if maybe it's a control issue and some teachers just can't let go of that.
My theory is that it is a control issue. And this is a theory, so it doesn't make it right. But the reason why some have that issue is because they understand how much they really don't know. So they're not willing to, you know, forfeit that control. They want to have their hands on things to hold the credit, to take the credit. When the ones who do know things, who know a lot, are completely comfortable with giving it away to people they know that can help them, because they don't have anything to prove.
Yeah.
And they, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, they understand that that's what's going to make their event successful. Mm-hmm. And it works every time. There's people who have said to me, I want to have a small event this year. You know what I'm talking about. I want to have a small event this year. But their event the prior year was so good that no matter how hard they try to not say anything about their event, people show up anyway. And it's just because it's so, like, seamless.
I thought that was hilarious because we always talk about that. We're like, remember when we were like, we were in denial that it was going to be a small event up until like Tuesday when, or I think the week before, where he was like, okay, you know, things aren't going to really start on Thursday, they're going to start earlier. And mm-hmm. everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
And I just remember he was just like giving us like, yeah, so Monday there's going to be music. And it was like Oprah, like, you know, My Favorite Things. And it was like, and you'll get a car. And it was like, and we were just, it was crazy because we were like little kids. I mean, if you looked at us jumping at the new schedule, I mean, we looked like kindergartners that found out it was like pizza day. We were just lit. We were just like, was like, and then this like is gonna happen. And no, that was awesome. That happened organically, because even like months leading up, I was like, you know what, I'm okay with a small event because I'm gonna be in Sutora. Like, I don't need like 20 people getting my ass. Like, if there's 5 people, that's cool. I gotta play 5 people. Yeah. That's great. And then and then I think the day of, I was like, or like the week of, I was like, oh crap, there's
it got real.
Yeah,
shit got real.
So we need to get our So, I mean, but that was also adapting. Like, we adapted to the group and we adapted to the numbers and so like we ended up getting like extra hands on deck, like, and people were more than willing to help out. And I think the sense of community is, I think, a good. I think the students also really make it. Like I said, because I think that's the people that, you know, they're willing to help take free time. Their time, you know, like
the time you can't pay back,
that you can't get back.
You can't get that shit back.
I think the students is what really makes events too, but I think the leader really has to inspire that.
It's all in the leader. And don't get me wrong, like, there are some people who actually thrive off of having control,
mm-hmm.
because they are good at having control.
Like, yeah,
they have the management skills, but those people are so few and far in between. Like, there's just not that many.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Like, I couldn't do that. Like, if I were to ever be in that position, I'm going to have to delegate stuff to
Did you delegate when you had your own event?
No. And that's how I learned that that's not the way I need to run things. Like, I had a couple people who the day of were willing to, like, chill out front and register people who may not have registered online or just check people in. But... that was so I could, like, run around from room to room. And then for some reason, I thought, like, it was okay to try to train, too. That was a horrible idea because I never made it through a whole class. Like, I needed to, like, be present in a different way. But everything else leading up to, I reached out for my own sponsors. I made sure I could get, you know, the rooms locked down for the days that I needed. I tried to make sure that my guests could come in. And, like, let me pause on that for a second, because I flew Master Lucas in and I paid him, and he made sure that I was able to pay him without, A, breaking myself, but also without me, I don't know, robbing him of his time. Like, he had bills to pay and things to do. So he made it to where it was possible for me to pay him and pay him fully. And then the other few who came in did it out of just, like, the love of their hearts. Like, I paid them what I could, but they just didn't ask for the money. Like, so that was huge. But reaching out to them, make sure their flights got scheduled, make sure that they were actually going to be there. This is during snow season, so like, getting them there, I took care of all of that. I housed them. My parents housed them. Shout out to Mom and Dad, holding it down.
I think, like, I hate bad events. I fucking hate bad events.
Hey, I'm with you. Cheers to that.
It leaves a bad taste in my mouth and it just, like, puts a damper on my day. It's like a bad hangover.
Yeah.
You're just like, man.
I've gotten to the point now, especially out here, where if I figure out who's going to be there, then I normally know how the event's going to go.
Oh, okay. That's,
I honestly didn't think
regardless
of that.
Regardless of who's throwing it.
Okay.
There's like a certain handful or type of person there. I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. Or you're like, I'd have to be surprised on this one. You know?
Why do you think, like, when you're kind of like, I have to be surprised, do you think it's like the lack of leadership or like just like the shit showiness?
It's more so the shit showiness. The ones who are a part of the equation of good events, I've noticed, are the ones who forfeit their ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they take more pleasure in seeing other people shine than, you know, seeing themselves.
Right.
Do whatever they love to do. Like, it's not so much about, I'm going to go to put the spotlight on me. It's like, I'm going to go and, like, try to help aim that spotlight on everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of people out here like that. So when I know that they're going to be there, think about what makes the events great. Said women should be another date. I agree.
I want to do a women's one. I just, I think there was a cluster of, like, episodes where it was, like, I was interviewing a girl, and then we were talking about this, and we're talking, so it's, like, I don't want it to be, like, feminist-centric, because I'm not a feminist, but I feel like as a higher-up, I'm feeling the definite sex, like, difference, and I know there's a lot of women out there that want to be, like, equal. They're like, well, I just identify myself as capoeirista. I think now that I'm getting it, I'm starting to be like, okay, that's, like, a little political of you, and that's a cop-out.
It's definitely political. It, like, for me, it's
a political,
the same,
like, answer, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't settle for that. You know what I mean? Like, this is me speaking just in terms of, like, the pocket that I'm in as a minority. Yeah, I just want to be equal. And that's legit. Like, I really believe that. But at the same time, I want to end the conversation about me, like, about colors in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of the way I look.
Yeah.
Like, the history I have. But if we can just, like, dissolve the boxes or you know, change the context in which people's, you know, races or sex or sexual orientation are even used, leave that to the person that is living that life.
Mm-hmm.
And not use it as a way to generalize. I feel like that would be just, it's ideal for me. This is just me speaking from my point of view. But I just don't want, like, people to feel like they need to make the extra effort to say, I would like to be considered only, I want to be considered an actor. Just because it diminishes the whole use of, like, gender. Or I'm trying to put this in.
I get it.
I'm trying to articulate what I'm feeling.
I'm catching what you're throwing.
I'm just trying to
but
say,
I know,
like,
you want to get it out.
People shouldn't have to put in the extra effort to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They should just be treated equally, and then that's it. I don't want to feel like, yeah, I need to say,
I don't know, because I've now been to some events where, like, I'll be waiting in line, and I should be able to play, but it's like the guy that just played just got out, like, just steps in front of me.
Yeah.
And that just fucking, like, pisses me off, because I'm like, dude, I've spent just as much time getting this cord as you are.
Yeah.
I should be afforded the paltry 40 seconds, and I've timed it, like, 40 seconds to play this, like, schmo.
For sure.
That has no cord, like.
For sure.
Or, like, you know, I should be able to play this beating bell because I know how to. Like, I would never, ever roll up to a beating, like, to a batería, let alone a bachizado, like, not knowing, fully knowing, like, how to play, you know. I don't even understand some, like, I guess I get the reverence of Messi's playing, but if there is no girl to, like, represent and I'm the only one asking, like, I think, I'm not even saying, like, I'm entitled, but, like, I think that maybe they should just give it a shot just to show that females can play, because, you know, I still think we're in an environment where girls feel like they can't, like, express themselves in terms of trying to step up, because girls are so, like, considerate. I've even been to women's events where I was like, no, you go first. Like, bitches, get the fuck in there. Someone needs to play right now. Because you are killing this energy by trying to be nicer. You know, it's like honestly, you know what? I fucking hate four-way stops.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you obviously stopped first because that's what the DMV says. It's let you go. But they're just like, no, you go. Like, why, dude? Like, I need to make a U. So you need to get the fuck out of the way. And then they'll be like, no. And I'm like, okay, I'm U-ing. And then they'll, like, think I'm like making the left when I'm really ewing, so they'll almost get into an accident with me. Then they get mad at me, and it's like, bitch, you said go first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying though. It's like, in terms of like,
so
dude just played.
Sometimes it's a male driven.
It's absolutely.
It's a male driven like event where I'm just like, okay, well, my time again.
But that's further driving home a point is that you shouldn't even have to be in the position to make that point. To say, hey, I'm one of the few women here. I know how to play. I think I deserve a shot to play. Like, it should be like, hey, can I play when you're done? And they're just like, yes, that's it. That's it. You know what I mean? You've gotten here. You got to this point of being an instructor for a reason. And they shouldn't be questioning that.
Or like another girl that's a professora. Because I've seen some professoras, like, pay for events, and I'm like, that's weird because that dude over there didn't pay. Why are you paying for an event?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like girls have always been taught to kind of like not. I think it's just like, once again, it's that like that awareness and that thoughtfulness that you need to think of. I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, bachizados are awesome. They're only once a year. It's not like taekwondo. Like, no one's getting cords every. Well, some schools, anyways. Technically, it's once a year. So, I mean, it's the one. To me, I always tell people, like, this is the party. This is the one time where people have to watch you and you're not a messy. But this is, like, your moment to show people, which I've just realized now. Like, sometimes you don't feel like you're, like, enough. Like, it's enough to, you don't feel like you're enough for the cord. And then now that I realize I've been in it for so long, I'm like, okay, well, this is me, like, showing you how proud I am because I've been in it for so many years. Like, that was the first time, like, this is the first year I thought about, this is me not feeling like I'm adequate enough to, like, show a good game.
Yeah.
But instead, this is me showing, like, look how much work I've gotten to the point or, like, the degree of, like, seriousness that I'm in. And, I'm just going to represent, and I don't know if, like, the teachers just don't think of that, or just, I mean, I hate to use this, like, theory, but some of them just, like, think it's a time to, like, party.
Oh, for sure. It's the reunion of the boys' club, I always say.
So yeah.
I'm with you.
We're going to have brandies and cigars.
And talk about
hoes. Yeah, like, it's like, I don't know, and I don't like bachizados like that, because I've seen that too, where it's like, where that aspect is fucking going on, it's like spilling into the hoda, and you can see it, it's like, what the fuck, where am I, why'd I come here, like, why am I here?
Yeah, it's whatever, you know what I mean, like, getting to this point, to kind of go along with what you were saying, it did feel different in the sense that it was a celebration of all of the time put in to you.
Yeah.
It was more about that. It wasn't about, like, I moved up.
Yeah.
It was just, like, a reminder, like, man, you did good.
And yeah.
I think that's what Copwood is about anyway. Like, that's what makes it good, is when people go in and they play. Or they contribute, do whatever they do, love to do, and do it for themselves. People normally don't end up leaving disappointed. And on the, you know, to hit the nail on the head, I think that when an event opens up the space for someone to do that and not feel like they're under someone else's control the whole time, that's when it's like legitimately good.
Yeah.
People feeling, you know, they leave feeling like they gained something.
Yeah.
Their spirit gained something, you know, instead of just blisters and a bunch of bruises from some randomly made up workshops.
I think some sad parts I've heard where an event's been bad and it makes it apparent to the students, and then I'll hear in some gossip, like doing gossip roundup with all my many connections that I have, that you know, these people left, like, after, shortly after the Bocciusato, and I'm just like, fuck, that Bocciusato did suck.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. You know, I think that sucks when, I think that's a bad part of the Bocciusato, like, don't have that one.
Mm. Yeah, for sure, when people are leaving and they don't have anything good to say, you should just get out the business. Hang it up, or pass the torch to somebody else.
Yeah, or just fucking, like, take a look at yourself, or just like look inside of you and be like, why didn't that work? And how can I work to make this better? Sometimes I have to look at it logistics wise, because I feel like I'm a logistics person during my Bocciusato. Like, how could it have run more smoother? I want to keep it as streamlined as possible sometimes. When you say that, I am in that definite mode during Bocciusato. It's weird. I'm having fun, but I'm not having fun. And everyone knows I'm a control freak when it comes to the schematics of the Bocciusato. Like, yeah. I'm sure they're welcome. Like, yeah, like, how are you doing? I think another big turnoff is when you're kind of coming in and you can't even say hi to the person or for whatever reason, they're just like, it's like super tense and you're kind of looking around and you're just like, I feel like I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know. Have you ever been in that sort of event where you're just like, it's a flurry of people, like, and you can't even say hi for some odd reason.
Yeah.
There's a weird like tension. Yeah. Like there's in the air.
There's one event. There's a few events, but notice a pattern between the events where the masody is like put on a pedestal and the events where the masody is not.
Yeah.
So, like, the ones that are on the pedestal, that's when people get all weird. Their personality changes.
Yeah.
They, like, become zombies, and they're just there to be, like, seen by the masody, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the masody who doesn't really prefer to be in that spot, they just kind of want to be there, and they're just like, I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else is doing their thing, so they're social. Everyone's social.
Yeah, I like that.
Really loose, you know?
I kind of question, like, the CDO event, like, what would the energy be like if Shikochi was actually there?
You know, I've never met Shikochi. I've only seen him in, like, various Facebook or YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
But my impression, and obviously I can and will be corrected if I'm wrong, but my impression is that he's not that uptight of a guy. He seems like he might be kind of relatively chill. You know?
I mean, I feel like it might have been a little bit more serious, because I think when your mess is, like, thousands and thousands of miles away, he only has, like, X amount of, like, days or weeks to, like, you know, like, survey his school. Like, how is it doing? So I think the pressure was a little bit off, I have a feeling. Because, like, I feel like we wouldn't have gotten to play so much.
You think so?
Maybe. I don't know, honestly. I was in Monitor, which doesn't apparently mean so much in the grand scheme of things of being announced. So I just blended in the year before, so I really, and I was also, like, getting sound bites, so I was, like, floating around a lot. So I can't tell you if the pressure was on, but with the students. Because certain people didn't play for their chord last year, but certain people did play their chord this year. So I feel like it was different because, you know, the people that weren't playing were obviously dealing with the logistics itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, like, shake up and, like, you know, who was running it was, so I don't know, honestly. Through what I was seeing, I think it was a pretty great, it was an awesome event. Like, I definitely felt the energy and the community that CDO wants to bring. They're a monster of a school in the grand scheme of things, but
for sure.
In LA, they're, you know, I think everyone's trying to find their place, and I think CDO is finding their place. And with every year that I see, since, like, 2009, I feel like, when Preya was the original, I really feel like they've just been, you know, when he left, and then with Shara, it was, so I think they're doing a great job of just, like, rebuilding and, like, making their name, and it's a slow, like, transition, and it's a really slow, Kabura is so slow, like, I mean, in building, like, whatever it is you want to build, it's like work. It's like, you know, it takes years of, like, people not coming in to finally having one person come in and then three people coming in, and, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, because I feel the same with this, like, in the respect that they're trying to, like, they are rebuilding,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that, and it kind of helped me to think of something else that would, you know, be added to the list of what makes a good event. But they did a good job this year of collaborating with people. And I don't know if they've always collaborated, but to bring in, like, Viva Brazil to teach a dance class mm-hmm. and all that stuff, like, adding a different element to your event, I think, is essential, too. Because, yeah, granted, if you have a dance class, there might be people, and I've been guilty of this in the past, but, like, being, you know, too macho to dance or something like that or whatever. But when you add that...
I skip them, too, so I'm not element, macho at all.
Yeah. I like what you like at the time that you like it. So,
yeah, exactly.
I think when you add that extra flavor to your event, that collaboration is, like, that's what makes it unique.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited for this Zoom Meet event because they're having this panel talking about what they're going to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, Black Lives and everything, and especially now with the timing of this election turning out the way that it did. Like, I know it's going to be kind of heated, and that's exciting because that means it's not a typical event. This isn't a Bachizato, but, you know, it's been happening annually, so it could be a typical Zoom Meet, but...
Have you been to... I was going to say, what do you think about the Bocce Popo in terms of, like, Bachizatos? Because, yeah, I'll see that, where there'll be, like, luncheon / Bocce Popo. And then there are some people, I mean, I'm not going to, let me be honest, I have only been, I think, I've only, like, seen maybe two, mm-hmm. like, Bocce Popos, like, during a Bachizato. What do I think of them? I think the first one was really interesting. I think... And then I feel like after everyone, it's, like, the same. I feel like there's not a candidness that we can talk about. I think that's why this show was also created, because I'm just like, you know, people have these conversations, but it's like they don't want their messages finding out or, like, a school finding out. I'm like, why the fuck? Well, A, this is not CNN. Like, we got – I don't even know who listens to this. Like, it could be truckers on a 4 a.m. shift, like, across the country.
Yeah.
Wanting something random, it could be martial artists just, like, trying to, because I feel like anyone with a passion, like, runs into these problems because you commit your lives to this. And yeah, I think everything is gonna have a problem. Like, there's always something annoying, you know, like, in whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Bocce Popos, I don't want to say it's, like, a waste of time, but I don't think they want to get honest.
No, are a lot of people who ask questions that are legitimate. They mm-hmm. legitimately want to know. But then at the same time, and I have to stop myself from doing it a lot, I'm like, am I going to ask a question that I either A, already know the answer to and I just want them to bring it up, or B, I just want to show, like, my face. You know what I mean?
I am, like, the one person that never wants to even talk during those things.
I love soaking in information.
Being quiet,
soaking in like a sponge, but I also know, like, and this is something you may not even feel, but at first I was like, man, kind of stepping into leadership now, I like mm-hmm. to be present. Let me ask a question so that way people know I'm here and I'm speaking up as, you know, that's so dumb. Like, that wastes time.
Yeah.
It doesn't drive the conversation in a meaningful way. And I think, you know, leadership can, they can sense that. So they're probably going to give a generic answer anyway because it was a generic question to begin with.
Yeah.
That's when I don't really like Bocce Popos, when that exchange, that generic exchange is going on. But this, you know, subject coming up with it's civil rights happening all over again. That it's going to be hard for people to take their feelings out of that conversation, out of that dialogue. So a generic question coming up won't. I've already had these conversations, and Massey has been present for a couple of them that I've had with other people, or, you know,
about Cowboy, or just about just the world in general,
world
and, like,
in general.
The current events and the state that we're in, right?
Yeah, and it's already gotten to the point where certain people have asked questions or said things, and they don't really understand what they're saying, so it could be taken in an offensive way.
Uh-huh.
But he, being the adult that he is, Massey, and, you know, having to deal with different personalities over the years, just knew how to, like, navigate through it and answer the questions, and from a real place. It mm-hmm. wasn't like giving the political answer. It was still being real, but still, like, I don't know, you've talked to him before, like, he's very chill.
So, yeah, super chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was totally, like, freaked out talking to him, like, for a really long time.
Everybody was.
It's because, like, when you're a young horde, you're just like, oh, my God, that's messy. I don't want to bother him with my shit. But now I'm just like, now, I mean, you saw at the BBQ, it was this barbecue for vegans, which...
It's a thing, all right?
Okay, we're just going to say that because Drew's my guest. Vegan barbecues are a thing, but...
BBQ is real. Hashtag BBQ.
I just thought it was funny. I just, like, looked at him, and I was like, how many t-shirts from events do you own? And he was like, a lot. And I was like, what do you do with those shirts? Like, honestly, like, 10 years ago, I wouldn't even ask. 10 years ago, I was like, I wouldn't even look at him in the eyes.
There's been a couple times where I've, like, ridden with him places, and it's just downtime or music is playing.
Like, should I say something and feel this dead air?
I wonder if he spins his army to the right or the left. Nah, I'm not going to ask him that. The streets of bite, nah.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, no, I...
Just trying to think of something.
I get that.
Not realizing how unnecessary it was for me to even, like...
I think that sometimes that makes the bachizatu is just that tension of, like, can I come up to this person? Can I be real with these people? Like, not even, like, in a bad way, but, like... Is this going to be a good time?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I go up to these events and there's just so many higher-ups. It's just like a huge... It's like it could be a monster of a school. And you're just like, who are all these people? Like, goddamn, like, who do I talk to? Like, so it's, yeah. I kind of, like, end up bundling up with my classmates. And then it kind of sucks because, like, you know, the opportunity of a bachizato is to meet different people. And you know, not only just network of... You know, but, like, figure out, like, oh, what is your school like? Oh, I like this style, or, like, I like this move, or these are just really nice people. But sometimes when they're just big events, they're just, I don't know if it's a sensory overload because there's so much amazing people under one roof, or if there's just that stigma of, like, man, I just can't even go up to this person right now.
The people who are approachable... let you know that they're approachable. Like, it's so ingrained in who they are that they can't help it. Like,
yeah.
Like I said before, Shango or Malandro for ages. Mm-hmm. Gata Brava for a long time. Martel. Obviously, Muito. And I'm trying to think of people who I met, like, before I moved here at an event that I've always, like, kind of kept some sort of, like, communication with, obviously Shulapa, Tuzina, but those people have been in, like, huge events or huge places, and I've seen them there before, but then they still manage to, like, branch out and be chilling with anybody regardless of, like, you know, just because of the way that they like to carry themselves with their personalities.
I love teachers that are down to hang out with students. Like, they're at the kids' table, like, I'm gonna eat lunch with you guys. Like, and everyone's like looking around, like, oh, all right.
Masri Dottor.
Yeah.
Is good for that.
Or, like, I love that.
Urubu is good for just coming and chatting with people.
Like, I didn't realize that until I was a higher up how much, like, some of them even hate stuffy meetings. You know?
Like, yeah, they don't, like, they didn't, they kind of Kurt Cobaining in a sense, where they're like, I didn't,
like,
sign up for this shit.
Yeah, yeah, or like, look, I already sat with the old dudes. I want to see, where's the party at, kids? Yeah. Like, where are the cool parties at tonight? Like, I think that's a big deal, is the approachability also of, like, how open and, like, warm the, you know, higher-ups and teachers are.
Yeah. Absolutely. The relationships you make, I think, also define whether or not you're going to remember an event or if you're just gonna be like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
next one.
Yeah.
Being able to build meaningful relationships and potentially with somebody that you might look up to in the context of the game, like, that's amazing to me, too. So I'm always, like, a big fan of those people who can marry the two together. It's like, I can bring you who I am as a person and do that without sacrificing, like, my stance in capoeira.
Yeah.
I can be both.
Do you have any upcoming trips or events coming up?
We have LA, Santa Cruz and this thing downtown. That's the nearest and dearest. I'm gonna have to put Hawaii on hold until next year. And in terms of events, I can't think of anything right now, but I'm a huge fan of going, like you said earlier, going to things in the off season.
Yeah.
And not only experiencing, like, the school, I think you get better classes out of those too. Especially if you go to, like, a school where you really admire the teacher and not, you don't have to depend on whatever guests they're bringing.
Like,
Yeah, like I tried to avoid you.
I want to, like, yeah, I want to explore Floreo. So, yeah, I think traveling to schools on their off season is great too.
It's huge. And then another benefit is, like, you travel, you want to see where you're at. It's not a layover, you know?
Yeah.
So when you go in the off season, people have a little bit of free time to, like, show you around instead of doing all the logistics for an event.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's normally the people who have space to house you that are also doing a bunch of other stuff too. Mm-hmm. So they don't really have all the time to, like, show you. I think on my wish list, I want to do, like, an event outside of the country.
That would be cool.
To see, like, I've had the chance to see a couple in Brazil, but I want to see some in, like, I don't know, maybe Canada or Europe. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. See how other schools get down. Or any other places out there. At Drew Love Life, all one word, obviously.
No, it's not obvious because, like, no one knows. I didn't even know.
I don't think you can do spaces on
underscores.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, that's about it. I might post something every once in a while. I've kind of fallen off lately. Social media, Instagram doesn't get touched by politics. This is like me either, like, trying to show my growth in capoeira and something new that I might be working on, and I'm probably not that good at it. But I just love showing people, like, yo, this is what I'm working on now.
That's great, I think, yeah. To just be in the present and just to show people what you're doing right now. I mean, no, that's good. We're creating. I mean, that's why I created this podcast, was I want, like, to give people a voice. And this stuff isn't really, like, what we're saying is not really a thing that people, I think, want to know. Or, like,
I think it is, though.
I don't know. I never thought it was gonna be like this. Like, I never thought I would be recognized for someone and be like, well, you talk about shit that people don't want to talk about.
I mean, but naturally, as a person, you kind of do it on your own. So
I don't know.
It would only be right for you to create a space for other people to do it. I think people, like, crave this, honestly, because they don't get to. We all have our sidebar conversations with each other about this stuff, right?
Yeah, but I love these things. I love sidebar.
You don't get a window
sidebar.
Of what a stranger's thinking. Like, if you got somebody in Russia listening to this,
probably.
They didn't know I existed, this might be valuable to them to hear what,
yeah,
some random